that necessary. So as I presented myself, I think my colleague Michira can take the floor quickly, and then we can go around just for you to just tell us who you are and which institution you are representing. Okay, Michira, please.
Thank you, Mike, and thanks, Krishna, for the introductory remarks. And good morning or good afternoon to all the colleagues on the call. As Mike has mentioned, my name is Michira Chira. I'm an infrastructure specialist with the African Development Bank and working with Mike in the Infrastructure and Urban Development Department, and also, focal point for our PIDA response or support. And I'm delighted to be on the call and look forward to this interaction. Thank you.
So I invite colleagues to take the floor, quickly introduce themselves so we know who are joining this call, this training. So
okay, Omar, I can introduce myself. My name is Omar Salam. I am the president of the General Water Authority of Libya. My question here is, I don't see anybody on screen. Is there anything wrong with that, or aren't we supposed to see each other, or what?
Well, Krishna can respond.
Right? Yeah. Actually, the problem is we can activate the camera, but this tends to, because some of our colleagues have very weak connection. Even in IDs, we have a very weak connection. So it tends to then distort the voice. So we tend to, maybe we can activate. When you present yourself, you can, okay, so maybe I should stop the share. Okay. If I stop this now, if you activate your camera, we should be able to see you. Maybe while you present yourself, you can activate your camera very shortly, and then we see you, and then you can shut it off. Yeah, okay. We can see you now. Okay, great.
Yeah, I think that's Thank a you. Good idea. Yeah.
Thank you. Person, maybe
the screen has disappeared again. Christian, I don't know.
No, it's okay. I mean, we need that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
So, this is me, Krishna. You can see me.
Yes, we can see you.
This is Mike. Yeah,
this is Mike.
Gilbert, maybe you, but when you switch on your camera, you can just present yourself, Gilbert.
Yeah, my name is Gilbert Addy. I'm the team leader of the technical assistance program funded by the EU to the African Union. It's called the Infrastructure Support Mechanism. I'm one of the key experts. There are three of us. I'm the team leader, then there's a specialist that focuses on SATM and the air transport market, aviation. And a third member of our team is based at Awda Nepad, and he deals with financial transactions and the project pipeline, and also providing technical support to Awda Nepad when it comes to financial aspects. But more relevant, I suppose, to this meeting, we have four short-term non-key experts in the four sectors, water, transport, energy, and ICT, who are meant to be providing technical sectoral support to the people who are putting together the projects and will also be helping with the screening and so on. So enough said, I'm Gilbert Addy, and I can see the name of one of our short-term technical experts, and Gadasil Negash, who's in the meeting and will introduce himself in the fullness of time. Okay, I'm Gilbert.
Maybe Engeda, you take over.
Thank you, Gilbert. I mean, you have introduced us very well, so I'm very pleased also to see my former AFDB colleagues. Good afternoon, Mike and Michira, and good afternoon, everybody. So I'm working with Gilbert on the Infrastructure Support Mechanism Technical Assistance Program as a short-term energy expert. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Negash. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe we go on with Atef or Hussein. Atef, are you there? Can you introduce yourself briefly, quickly?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Atef Marzou, Head of Energy Division at the African Union Commission, Department for Infrastructure and Energy.
Yes, thank you. Maybe Sarah Touzi or...
Yes, good morning, everyone. And thank you, actually, Mr. Omar Salem, for this good suggestion. I have been participating to many, to few number of webinars. I never see faces of our colleagues. So nice to see you. I'm Sarah Touzi from the Global Water Partnership Mediterranean. We work on the African, North African region, assisting countries and facilitating support, consultation for the preparation of project PIDA and Wiley. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah. So next.
Can we hear from maybe Younes? Can you present yourself from Oman?
Okay, thank you, Krishna. My name is Younes. I'm an infrastructure expert from Oudan Nepal and Rabah, and also a member of Task Force for PIDA Part 2. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Younes.
Ooh, thank you, Mike.
Can you, Mr. Malama from COMESA, maybe? Mr. Malama?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, Mr.
Malama. Good afternoon. My name is Malama, and I'm working as energy economist for the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. Suila, you're there? Suila? Okay, I think we have lost her. Maybe the other members who haven't presented themselves, you could quickly present yourself. Hussein, I think, has a mic problem. We tried to reach him earlier. Eman Khalil. Dr. Sili, Dr. Tiny, you're there?
Yes, I'm there. Hello.
Okay, hello.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Krishna? And I'm very happy that we can finally see each other.
Yes, yes.
I've had the honor to see you, but the rest of our colleagues. My name is Tahani Sleet. I'm the head of Central Department for External Cooperation in the Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation. And I'm also the PIDA. I am the leader of the BITMED project. Thank you. And I have also two of my colleagues participating. If you allow us,
yes.
They will present themselves. It will be Engineer Ahmed Fouad and Engineer Ahmed Yassin, but each of us is in a different place. I have sent them the link to participate with us because they are the team of the VITMET project. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Who else? Nancy Taha?
Yes. Hello, everybody. Yes. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Nancy Taha. I'm a senior electrical engineer in the Egyptian Ministry of Electricity and Energy in Egypt. And I'm the focal point for the ministry for the PIDA project. So good afternoon, everybody.
Okay. Thank you. I can see we haven't talked to Rashid. Alfie, maybe Rashid, you can present yourself, and Hussein, if you can talk, if your mic is okay.
Hello.
You hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you. Go on, please.
Okay, I'm Rashid Futaisi. I'm from General Water Authority, Tripoli of Libya. I'm working with, working with the BIDA for some project and also working with our consultation mechanism as with Tunisia and Algeria, Libya for some project there. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Hussein Talu, he has a microphone problem, but that his name is Hussein Talu. He's from NWSAS and he's a consultation mechanism coordinator.
Yes, yes, I saw the message here, Iman. Also from Iman Khalil has a problem with the mic. So I think Mike, we should move on because some members have mic problems. And in any case, they can always join intervene later and then introduce themselves. Yeah, Suhila is joining back. Okay, Suhila managed to reconnect. What do you suggest, Mike? So should we proceed with the presentations? Hello, Suhila, can you hear us?
Yes, Krishna, yes, yeah. Sure. So let's, yeah. Thanks, colleague, for presenting yourself. We can start with the presentation. Just to make sure that we are all aware of the agenda of today's meeting, you have received the invitation with the agenda. First is the presentation of eligibility and selection criteria for VIDA Part 2, which will be done by the AFDB. The second will be to present you the functionality of VIDA Part 2, which will be done by Krishna, the PIDA coordinator. And then number three, we have Q&A session. Where all task force members, including ourselves, will have to be by your side to respond to your questions. We'll move on to item number four, which is to now give you the floor to review the list of PIDA projects already submitted on the site. That's for the RECs and the member countries. And of course, we'll finish with an agreement on the preliminary PIDA Part 2 project and allocation of responsibilities. So that's the agenda before us. We can, proceed with the presentation now to be done by AFDB. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. So we leave the floor to you.
Yes, I think Michira will make the presentation. Michira from the bank here. Thank you.
Okay. So over to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And thanks, Krishna and colleagues. Yeah. So we are, as outlined, the purpose of this workshop is really to present to you the criteria that will be used for selection of projects into the PIDA Part 2. I'm sure a number of you may already have gone through some of the material as it is the reports and the details are all already on the website. You may have already had time to interact with that. But so I'll quickly run through this presentation, which just gives a bit more detail into the process and how the projects will be selected. So the screen you're looking at is obviously just the title screen. Let me just see if I can navigate this presentation. Okay, so. So basically there are two let me start from the integrated corridor approach, which is the overarching strategic approach through which PIDA PAP 2 projects will be selected and prioritized. And this was an approach that was adopted already by the PIDA governance organs and aligns itself to the AU vision under the Agenda 2063, which emphasizes multi-infrastructure planning, employment promotion, climate protection, gender sensitivity, and rural connectivity. So the integrated corridor approach that has been adopted for PIDA PAP 2 addresses all these elements and tries to have a project selection criteria that responds to these orientations under Agenda 2063. And just to ask the question, why should we go through a process of selecting priority projects? I think it's obvious that there's a large number of projects out there on the continent in all the sectors. We need to have a mechanism for identifying the most viable and the most implementable projects that are and the most aligned to the vision. So that's really the whole basis, but also to be within the financial resources that, as we always know, there's always a limitation of financial resources. So we want to match the resources that could be available to finance our program in Africa with the large number of projects, but select the best ones out of there, the best in terms of viability, implementability, as well as alignment to the AU vision. So how do we get from the strategic framework of an integrated corridor approach to a criteria for selection? You know, it is a process where we are trying to measure the ability of a project to respond to the concept. So basically you will see as we go through the criteria that it tries to align any of the projects that will be submitted to align it to the concept, and also to be able to compare one project to another. So this process enables us to discriminate between projects so that we can prioritize the ones that best reflect the vision and the Agenda 2063. The process so far, as you may be aware, has got five steps. First of all, it was to set out the principles for PDAPAP2. This was done over the past 2 years through the various organs up until the ministerial approval, which adopted the integrated corridor approach. We are now at stage two, which is a project identification stage, where member countries, member states, and their RECs will submit projects. Then we'll move into a third stage, which will be to undergo a process of reviewing the submissions and applying the criteria that I'll share with you now onto those projects and coming up with a list. And then it will be the adoption process that will follow, which will include the submission to the heads of state summit, the African Union Assembly in January 2021. So basically, those are the stages that are being followed in the PDAPAP2 process. As you are aware, there are four sectors, official sectors of PDA. We have transport, energy, ICT, and transboundary water. And in each of those sectors, we have subsectors that are eligible. So this slide shows you in transport, it's roads, ports and maritime, rail and aviation. Energy is generation projects, which can be further disaggregated depending on the type of generation, transmission lines and pipelines. Pipelines here could be in the oil and gas sector. ICT, we're talking about terrestrial connectivity, internet exchanges, and data centers. And in the transboundary water sector, the subsectors that are eligible are dams for irrigation or multipurpose use, and also water transfer projects. I touched on the five steps that will be followed towards the summit of 2021 for adoption. And I will not go over them again, but we can come to it if there are clarifications during the Q&A session. So there are two levels through which the projects will be assessed. The first is eligibility. A project will have to be eligible before it can go into a criteria of selection. And I'll explain this in detail. And then once a project is eligible, we go through the second level, which is now to assess it in accordance with the selection criteria. So what do we mean by eligible or eligibility criteria? Right, so there we are. So PIDA framework has defined a number of requirements for a project to be eligible for consideration. And there are two main ones here presented. The first, the project has to be regional. As you know, PIDA is a program that seeks to accelerate or enhance regional integration in Africa. So for a project to qualify, it has to demonstrate that it is a regional project. What do we mean by that? It has to be either a transnational project, which means spanning over two or more countries, or if it is a national project, it must demonstrate regional impact. And for examples that we normally will use here are like seaports, which normally will sit in one country but provide access to the sea to a number of landlocked countries or inland countries. So that would be considered as regional in that sense. Or a power generation plant that might be sitting in one country but is large enough to be interconnected to a regional power grid and be able to transmit electricity to neighboring countries. So sitting in one country but with a regional impact. Secondly, we want to ensure that the projects that are submitted have got a clear agreement between the concerned countries. This is critical to avoid projects that have only a national interest but do not demonstrate cooperation between countries. So for a project to be eligible, there must be a clear agreement demonstrated in the application that the countries concerned or benefiting from the project have an agreement to implement this project. How will we assess this? This will be in the form of a memorandum of understanding, which has been signed or put together by the countries, or a similar document that shows that the countries concerned are actually cooperating to develop this project. Or alternatively, some of these projects are already in regional or REC master plans. So it means that for it to appear in a REC master plan, there has been consensus and agreement by all the countries to implement this project. So that's the eligibility criteria. A project must meet these criteria, these two elements, for it to proceed to the next level criteria. If it does not meet this, it is not eligible. If it meets this, it is eligible and enters the list of projects that will now go through a prioritization or a selection criteria which follows. So, in terms of the selection criteria, once a project has reached the eligibility, there are eight set of criteria as shown on your screen there. The first is a corridor criteria, and each one of these will go into more detail, explaining to you how each of these is actually used. The first is a corridor criteria. In other words, the projects that are submitted should synergize with existing or planned infrastructure in the sector. And this will be assessed using GIS data, and we'll explain later. The second is employment criteria. As I had indicated previously, the whole objective is to align with Agenda 2063 objectives, and one of which is employment. So we'll be able to assess each project submitted in terms of how it maximizes job creation, and we'll explain the detail of how this will be done. The third element is environmental criteria. In other words, we want projects that minimize the amount of CO2 emissions. So we'll be able to assess each submission in terms of tools that will be able to quantify the amount of CO2 emissions that project will result in, and be able to rank projects accordingly. The fourth is gender, obviously. Projects in PIDA PAP 2 should propose mechanisms that will increase women's opportunities to participate in infrastructure. So this is a critical issue that we're also going to use to assess projects. The fifth is a rural-urban connectivity. The idea here is that we want to have projects that maximize impact on people living in rural areas. We do not want to leave our rural areas out of the picture in selecting or implementing projects. So there must be a clear indication of how a particular project is enhancing or facilitating the rural-urban connectivity, and there'll be a mechanism to do this. The sixth is economic. We want projects that will be implemented to demonstrate the economic impact. And this will be done, as I'll explain later, through an assessment of countries' ranking in terms of the Africa infrastructure data initiative. And we'll explain this in due course. And the seventh is financial. Obviously, we want projects that represent the best attractiveness for investment financing. And there's a mechanism to rank projects based on that. And then finally, smart criteria. The whole idea of smart infrastructure, we want to see projects that display innovative approaches or technology that will enhance smart features within the project. So these are the eight selection criteria that will be applied. Just to recall, first, we go through the eligibility. We determine pass or fail. A project that passes, in other words, it is eligible for inclusion, will now go through these eight criteria to be able to select the best. As you may be aware already, that the objective of the PDAPAP 2 is to come up with a list of at least 50 projects, good projects in the whole continent. And the decision taken is to have 10 projects in each region. Geographic region here in Africa, so north 10, west 10, center 10, south 10, east 10, altogether 50. And the idea is that for each region, there should be at least one project in each sector. But again, these numbers and types of projects will be determined after going through all these selection criteria. So going into a bit more detail on that, this screen here shows you the metrics of the selection criteria. The first set, like I said, is a pass-fail to qualify a project into the list or not. So it's eligibility based on regional integration. The second set is a criteria now that goes into the ranking or selection scoring criteria of the projects. The first set relates to inclusiveness and sustainability. And in there, we have three elements. The gender sensitivity, which is ranked at 10% of the total a score. The rural urban connectivity has a 5% score. The climate friendliness has a 10% score. So this is like the first set. The second set relates to economic and financial impacts. And the ranking in there, the corridor planning, which I referred to earlier to do with linkages to existing infrastructure, has a score of 15%. Job creation, 10%. Economic impact is 25%. And financial attractiveness is 20. You'll notice these are the very high scores that we are going to use to rank projects, economic impact, and financial attractiveness for private sector investment. And then the smart innovative technologies rank at 5%. So this is the weighting that has been decided upon to be used for scoring projects. Now, moving on, the whole process of selection or use of this criteria has got two elements to it. There's a first element, which the criteria will be ranked on a nominal score. So basically, a project is assessed based on the respective criteria and given a score. And then those scores will be aggregated to see how the project ranks. So the first set of criteria listed here are based on a nominal score. So the corridor criteria, for example, projects that demonstrate synergy with existing or planned infrastructure, there will be a score awarded to that, and we'll come to that in detail. The gender criteria, economic criteria, financial criteria, and smart criteria, all these are basically scored based on how they achieve the assessment of each of these criteria. The second set of criteria, which are shown here in the bottom, employment, environmental, and rural urban connectivity, are proportionally scored. What do we mean by this? It means that when we receive all the projects from each region, we will assess each one in terms of these three and rank the best one with the best score, or provide allot the highest score to the best project. So for example, in terms of employment, once we receive all the projects in one region, we will assess them in terms of how much jobs they are likely to create and provide the highest score to the project that promises the most employment opportunities. And then the other projects within that region will now be proportionally scored based on this criteria, based on a comparison between the highest project creating the highest jobs and then the project that is being assessed to come up with a score. You'll be able to see how this works. So the three below, employment, environment, and rural urban connectivity, will be ranked on a proportional basis based on the submissions in the region. And the top ones will just be scored based on how they emerge from the assessment through a nominal score. Let's go in more detail for each of these, beginning with this corridor planning criteria, which is the first criteria. So as I demonstrated previously, the previous screen, this corridor planning criteria has a weighting of 15% of the overall. And the idea behind this is to be able to evaluate how each project that has been proposed is aligned to other existing or planned infrastructure in that region. So it has to serve the same geography as an existing or planned infrastructure of another sector, or could be the same sector. You know, so how will we do this? We'll use GIS mapping, the VPIC, which is the virtual infrastructure platform that is managed under NEPAD for PIDA, has got GIS maps of all the infrastructure, and we'll be able to assess a project that has been proposed in line with the GIS maps and be able to verify whether this project actually aligns in terms of geography, overlaps with another existing infrastructure asset or another planned infrastructure asset within the region. So the idea is that the more the project aligns with or saves an existing infrastructure, the higher the score it will get. It's as simple as that. For projects that do not align well with other existing or planned infrastructure, the score will be lower. And like I said, the total weighting here is 15%. So that's the way this process will be done. And just to say that all this process has been built into a model. So once the projects are submitted, all the various assessments will be entered into a technical model, which will then be able to calculate or compute all these weightings to be able to give us all the rankings. So this is the first one on the corridor planning criteria. Moving on to the second one. Let me just get to the screen. Just trying to navigate the screen from my end. Okay, so the nominal scoring criteria that I talked about relating to the corridor has a score set of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. And as you will see there, a project will score 5 if it saves existing assets, infrastructure asset of another sector, but there is more than 50% overlap in the geography serviced by the proposed project and the other project. So this will be the highest scoring for project ranking, corridor planning criteria. A 5 is a project that overlaps more than 50%. And then 1 is a lowest score. It's a project that does not serve or is linked to any existing or planned infrastructure asset within that region. So that will be the nominal scoring that will be used to assess a project under this criteria. The next is an example. The next screen just shows you an example of this very principle and shows us an example of a corridor Benin transmission interconnection project, which is one of the projects proposed under PIDA in West Africa. And this project would receive, through that criteria, would receive a high scoring under this criteria, because this transmission interconnection project runs along a corridor, a transport corridor, which is currently under construction already. This is the Abidjan-Lagos highway in West Africa. So basically, just to illustrate the point of how such a project would be scored. Let's move on to criteria number two, the employment criteria. And as demonstrated previously, this criteria has a score of 10%, or a weighting of 10%. And how will it be evaluated? Like we said, we want to score the highest for projects that have high opportunity for creating jobs. And how will we assess that? We will be able to use a toolkit that was prepared for PIDA. This toolkit actually assesses a number of inputs that show us the potential for a particular project creating jobs at the various stages of implementation of the project, whether during the design phase, during the development phase, during construction, and even after construction. So we'll compute the average annual jobs per million US dollars spent based on the estimated cost for implementation of the project. And then the project that creates the highest number of average annual jobs per million US dollars spent will get the highest score. And the other projects are scored in proportion of that. Just to illustrate that further, the like I said, the NEPAD or AUDA NEPAD job creation toolkit will be used to evaluate. And there will be a score allotted to each of the projects. And then the other projects that are being assessed will be assessed proportionally within the regional pool to come up with the projects that have the highest score under this employment criteria. So in the case of the highest, the project with the highest number of annual jobs per million US dollar, that will get a score of 5. And then obviously the others will then be proportionally weighted. An example of that here is illustrating that the Lamu Garissa Isiolo Highway Project. This is a highway project in the East Africa region of Africa from the Lamu port. This particular project, based on the PIDA job creation toolkit, it is estimated to create an average of approximately 16,000 annual jobs based on our computation. So as an example, this particular project, based on the ratio of the other projects within the region, the ratio here is would be like 25, because I think the estimated costs, CAPEX cost for this project is around 620 million US dollars. So the ratio here of the jobs per US dollar would give us about 25.8 jobs per 1 million dollar spent investment cost in this project. And therefore the score of this project will then be evaluated in proportion with the project that has the best rating within that region. Moving on to the third, which is the climate criteria. It has a total weighting of 10%. And I, as I mentioned earlier, the preference is to have projects that emit the least, or in other words, score the highest for projects that emit the least amount of CO2 during their construction and operation. And a range of methodologies are detailed in the report, which is available on the website, will then be applied to each project that is submitted to be able to calculate the CO2 emissions that will result from that project during its construction and operation. And the project that emits the least will get the highest score, and the other projects within that region will be scored in proportion. So basically, we're looking at greenhouse gas emissions that are calculated over the project life cycle. Projects which do not produce the lowest emissions per dollar invested will receive a score in proportion with the project with the lowest emission. So basically, that's how this will be applied. And the project with the least emission per dollar invested will receive the highest score within that regional pool. As an illustration, we have an example here of a project which has been obtained from the VPIC, the Virtual PIDA Information Center. It's a project called Mbandankua Hydropower Plant. It is actually located in Mozambique in the Southern Africa region. The estimated cost for the project is $2.4 billion for a total capacity of 2,400 megawatts. And according to the assumption metrics that we used here, the hydropower plant emits an estimated 0.21 kilotons of CO2 per megawatt year. So this will be assumed, therefore, that the in this particular case of this project, the plant would emit a total of 504 kiloton CO2 emissions per year, which gives an emission per dollar invested of 210. So in this particular example, the climate score for this project would be evaluated in proportion with the project with the highest ratio in that region. So like I said earlier, once we receive all the submissions from that region, we calculate their CO2 emissions, identify the project that has the least emissions, give it the highest score, and then any other project that is being assessed in that region will be ranked proportionately to that project with the highest score. So this is just an illustration in this case of the Mpandangua project. Moving on to the gender criteria, this has a weighting of 15% of the overall weighting of, under this selection process. The idea is that we want to consider projects that enhance the participation of women in infrastructure, in the infrastructure value chain as a result of the of its implementation. So throughout the process of implementing the project, from the idea of the concept through its preparation, development, implementation, construction, until operation, we want to be able to assess or identify the women's contributions throughout that process and be able to select projects that have the highest involvement of women. So when the projects are being submitted into the consideration for PDAPAP 2, the submission form requires the applicant to indicate the number and content of actions related to procurement that will be applied to that project to demonstrate the role or opportunities for women to participate within the infrastructure value chain. I mean, as an example, we will look at elements that give preferential procurement of women-owned SMEs, for example, in the implementation of the project, or gender-certified businesses, for example, as subcontractors, and so be able to rank projects based on the number of actions that they have proposed as likely to be applied during the implementation of that project. Again, this will be a nominal scoring criteria applied to this. So in other words, the highest score of 5 will be awarded to a project that includes 5 or more procurement-related actions that are proposed to support women's participation. So when you submit the project to us, to the PDAPAP 2 process, the assessment will look at the number of proposed actions that enhance women's participation. If it includes 5 or more actions, the project will be rated with a 5. A project that will receive 1, which is a lower score, is a project that includes either none or just 1 related action under our screening to demonstrate women's participation in the infrastructure value chain. So basically, that will be the nominal rating. The highest score to the project that has more actions that support women participation, and the lowest score projects that propose none or perhaps just 1 action. A procurement action to support women's participation. So that is the gender criteria mechanism that will be applied. There's a quick example here. Under the South African Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Procurement Program, which is one of the programs implemented over the past few years in South Africa. This particular project or program would receive a score of 5, for example, under this criteria. Because it was designed to take into account more than 5 specific procurement-related actions identified in the methodology that I've just described. So in other words, this particular example has got more than five procurement actions that actually promote participation of women throughout the procurement cycle. It supports more SME involvement of women through the procurement, et cetera, et cetera. So in this particular case, such a program would be given a score of 5 under this criteria. Moving on, the fifth criteria is the rural-urban connectivity, which has a weighting of 5%. As pointed out earlier, we are trying to target projects which demonstrate the highest potential for connectivity with rural areas. And how are we going to evaluate this? So basically, we are going to look at a project in terms of the region or country where it is located, and then be able to compare that in terms of the whether it connects rural settlements. So in this case, we have defined for our purposes a rural area as human settlements with less than 50,000 people. So if you have a settlement with more than 50,000 people in this criteria, it does not qualify as a rural area. So basically, that's the first step. And then we are going to look at beneficiaries from the particular or proposed project that are within a radius of 100 kilometers of that area. So a project that is proposed has to be able to be within a 100 kilometer radius of rural populations, in other words, populations of less than 50,000 people, and therefore be able to be assessed accordingly through a proportional process under this system. So what we're saying is that projects which do not connect the highest percentage of rural population will receive a score in proportion with a project in that regional pool that connects the highest percent of rural population. A project layout which connects the highest number of people will receive the highest score. And then other projects within that region will be scored proportionately according to that. So that's a quick example of this. We have a project here which was picked out, the Abidjan-Ouagadougou Narrow Gauge Railway. This is in West Africa, connecting Abidjan in Ivory Coast and Ouagadougou through a railway connection. In this project, looking at GIS data, we're able to assess that the total rural population, these are the towns and villages with people less than 50,000 and living within a 100 kilometer radius of this proposed railway, is totals about 15.4 million people. So additionally, the total population in the West Africa or ECOWAS region is about 349 million people. Therefore, for this particular project, it covers 4.4% of the region's rural population, based on the estimated number here of 15.4. So in this case, this project would receive a score, here we're saying a score of X, but that would be based on its relative connectivity compared to the best project within that region under this criteria. So again, once we receive all the projects, we assess them and identify the total rural population within a 100 kilometer radius of that project, give the highest score to the project that connects the most number of rural population, and then prorate the score of all the other projects in comparison or in proportion to this score that has, this project rather, that has the highest score, and be able to allocate a score for each of the projects accordingly. So that's how this particular rural connectivity criteria will work. Moving on, the sixth is the economic impact. And as I'd mentioned earlier, this and the one that will follow subsequently, the financial criteria, have got the highest weightings for obvious reasons. In this case, the economic impact of the project has got a weighting of 25%, which is one quarter of the total overall scoring criteria here. So how are we going to assess this particular criteria? we are going to employ an index that was developed by the African Development Bank. It's called the Africa Infrastructure Data Index, AIDI. And how this index works is that it ranks all the countries in Africa based on their density, infrastructure capacity, how much infrastructure they have developed within those particular countries. So it basically awards a ranking, an index, to countries, for example, that have the highest amount of infrastructure developed and countries that have the lowest amount of infrastructure developed right through the continent. And then we can be able to aggregate those kind of scores per region, but also looking at a project that is proposed in terms of how it connects to the various countries with the different ratings. So projects that will have the biggest impacts in each region will have the highest scores, basically. So the criteria basically favors countries that have the lowest density or investment level of infrastructure and provides them the highest score. In other words, this criteria makes the conclusion that if you implement an infrastructure investment in a country which has very low endowment or availability of infrastructure, the impact, the economic impact of that investment will be far higher than investing the same type of infrastructure in a country or a region that has already a very high level of infrastructure investment. So we will be looking at how projects, rather in countries with an average rating of lower than 10, AIDI index of lower than 10 will be awarded the highest score. And conversely, a project that impacts a set of countries with an average AIDI index higher than 50 will receive a lower score. I'll be able to illustrate this just now in an example. So again, the AIDI index is an index that is a tool that is available online, like I said, developed by the African Development Bank. In this process, we're going to give the highest score of 5 to a project that is located in countries with an AIDI score of less than 10. In other words, the density or level of investment in those countries is the lowest. So it gets the highest score because the economic impact will be very high by implementing that project. And then a score of 1 under this criteria will be given to a project that is located in countries with an average AIDI score greater than 50. The other projects will all be scored and then compared with each other under this criteria. So this table here, I'm not sure if you can see it clearly, but shows you the current scores for the different countries in terms of the AIDI score. So for example, in this case, Seychelles, which is the number one country in Africa in terms of the AIDI score, has actually got a score in 2018 data of 94.3. And Egypt is second with 85.3, and then going down the table. And then you have an example of Somalia, which is the 54th on the list there with an AIDI score of 3.4%. In other words, this is showing us that Seychelles has got the highest density of infrastructure developed compared to Somalia, which has got the lowest in the continent. So in this criteria, we'll provide a score of 5, that's this table in the middle or here in the sheet, a score of 5, which is the maximum, will be given to countries or projects proposed from countries with an average score less than 10. In other words, the lowest level of investment in infrastructure. And countries, or average countries with a score above 50 will score 1. And then again, in the middle, the different scores will be given to countries that score according to the index or criteria that is shown here. An example, we have a project here called the ZTK transmission interconnector. This is a project proposed in Southern Africa region to interconnect electricity transmission systems in Zambia, Tanzania, and Kenya, actually Southern and the East. So it actually links the Southern African part and the Eastern part of Africa. That's why it's called ZTK, Zambia, Tanzania, Kenya. It proposes construction of a 330 kilovolt transmission line to interconnect the power grids of the three countries, but also effectively linking Southern Africa and Eastern Africa power pools. So in this particular case, the AIDI scores of Zambia, Tanzania, and Kenya, respectively, based on the previous table I showed, are 22.3 for Zambia, 12.5 for Tanzania, and 25.6 for Kenya. The average it gives us is 20.1. So in this case, this project would be given an economic ranking criteria score of 3 based on the previous chart that I'd showed in the previous slide. So this is just an example to show that each project that is submitted for consideration will be assessed based on the countries that are participating in the project. We'll pick out the AIDI scores for each of the countries, work out the average score for that project, and then be able to give it a score based on the guiding chart that was in the previous page here in the middle there, which shows you a score of 1 to 5 based on the AIDI score that has been calculated for the countries proposed as beneficiaries of or members, countries involved in the implementation of the project. So that is the way the economic criteria will be ranked. Moving on, number 7, I think that will leave us 2 more to conclude, is the financial attractiveness of the project. This has a score of 20%. And why this is important is because this is one of the lessons that has been learned also after assessing how the PIDA phase 1 performed, in that we did not get as much private sector investment as we would like. I think it's a well-known fact that investment in infrastructure in Africa needs as many resources as we can get to be able to close the gap, the investment gap that is required for infrastructure. So much as we get financing from governments, from development finance institutions, partners, etc., we need also to scale up more private sector investment so that we can make use of all the available resources that could support financing investment. So we want to attract or have projects in the next phase of PIDA that will have a higher opportunity of attracting private sector investment. So that's why this 20% weight is looking at financial attractiveness for the project to private sector. So we are going to look at the project submitted based on investment track record over the past years, of the last 10 years, and look at projects that have shown or demonstrated to be most attractive for private investment. So for example, it is a known fact that over the past 10 years or so, or more really, the ICT sector, for example, the ICT backbone projects have attracted the most private sector investment on the African continent. As such, that kind of project under this criteria would receive the highest score because they have a track record for attracting more investment. And then on the other side, irrigation dams, for example, over the past 10 years have been shown to attract the lowest amount of private sector investment. So under this comparison of financial attractiveness, a project such as an irrigation dam would score lower, or rather the lowest score under this criteria if it is being compared to an ICT project within the same region and based on this criteria. So 5, which is the maximum score, will be given, for example, to projects that relate to terrestrial connectivity infrastructure, that's ICT and data centers, because these have been shown to attract the most private investment. And the lowest score under this criteria will be given to projects such as irrigation dams, which have attracted the least so far. And then in between, you have ports, airports, power generation, water transfer, which are ranked between 2 and 4 under this criteria. So depending on what type of project will be able to assess and then give it a score accordingly. As an example, we have here the Luanda to Kinshasa fiber optic link, which is an interconnection between Luanda in Angola, Kinshasa in DRC, a fiber optic link. This project aims at deploying a cable between the two capital cities, Brazzaville and Kinshasa, which are separated by the Congo River, a broadband fiber optic cable. And as explained previously, being an ACT terrestrial connectivity infrastructure, such a project would receive the highest score based on the experience of private sector attractiveness for such a project. Moving on to criteria number 8, this is the last but one. This is the SMART criteria. It has a weighting of 5%. And basically, this criteria will favor projects that present strong technical innovation or demonstrate innovation in its proposed operations, the business model for the project, and practices which demonstrate most innovation. The objective here is to plan or have projects in the next decade, you know, that are aligned with technology and advancement of technology in terms of the way the operational modalities are designed. And it is based on identification of features within the project that is proposed that demonstrate innovative aspects, in terms of the way it will be operated and implemented. So, for example, an energy project based on a PV solar technology would receive a score of 3, whilst a PV solar project, including batteries, would receive a score of 5, simply because the latter has got an additional innovation in this particular instance. Explaining this further, we have 3 elements here. 5 is the highest score. This will be projects that present strong innovation in its operational aspects or smart technological specifications. Few projects in the same technical specification or model have been developed in the last 5 years. So in other words, we're trying to encourage more projects that have these innovative or smart elements to it to receive the highest score under this assessment. And projects that receive 1 are projects that present no innovation at all or in its operation. So basically, we are encouraging member states and regs to submit projects that are designed in such a way to enhance smart technologies in their design or some kind of innovation in order to be scored highly under this particular criteria. One example here is the project called the Nzema project. This is an energy project which with an installed capacity of 155 megawatts. This project is located in Ghana in West Africa and will be the largest solar power installation on the African continent, offering opportunities for exporting electricity generated through renewable energy, so exporting to the region. And this particular project will use the photovoltaic PV modules. And while this technology is recent in time, many PV projects have already been implemented in Africa. So it's not the first to utilize this kind of technology. So in terms of our ranking here, this project is deemed partially innovative because it does not bring an entirely new innovation into the development. And in such a case would receive a score of 3. So this is just a demonstration of how this criteria will be used to give scores to each of the projects that will be received. So in summary, the PDAPAP 2 projects will require first passing or failing the eligibility criteria, but obviously passing so that they can be included into the next stage of assessment. The 2 eligibility criteria that will enable us to confirm that it is a regional project and also that it has got cooperation amongst the member countries or is part of a regional master plan. And then those that are eligible will be applied with the 8 selection criteria to determine the rating. So basically, each project will receive a total score after looking at all the various criteria and come up with a score. And the idea is that for each region, we want to select the 10 best projects, so the 10 high priority projects are based on this scoring criteria. And then a rolling list of 50 priority projects, as mentioned earlier, will be established. So basically 10 per region for each of the 5 regions, geographic regions, that is, in Africa. And then one additional guidance that has been provided by leadership is that each island state in Africa, because as you may recall, the previous PIDA program, you know, kind of excluded island nations in the program. But the decision has been taken that island nations will be part of this second phase of PIDA specifically. And therefore, each island nation is allowed to propose projects which will be ranked in a similar manner, as long as they demonstrate the regional nature, or regional connectivity nature of those projects. And then each island nation will be allocated one project. So that's above the 50 that are identified for the whole continent. There will be one project per island nation, which will enter the priority list. But again, it says here rolling shortly. So the 50 that will be in the PIDA-PAP 2 are not closed. In other words, over the next 10 years, because as you recall, PIDA phase 2 will have the priority action plan covering 2021 to 2030. So the complete list of projects that are submitted and evaluated will be ranked. The top 50 plus each from each island state will go into the PAP 2 for the short term. The rest of the projects will be included on the list as reserve projects. In other words, as projects in the next 10 years get implemented and secure financing, they move out of the PAP, and new projects that are within the reserve list enter this process of the high 50 priority list. So it will be a rolling process under criteria developed under the PIDA program to ensure that new projects continue coming into the priority list over the next 10 years. So I think this is the end of my presentation. It's a lot of material, but obviously the time we have, that is the best way we could share it. But we'll be open to a Q&A to be able to respond to any specific questions for clarification. So I conclude here. I don't know if Mike is still here to take over, or Krishna, to basically direct us. Oh, Mike is still here. So Mike, over to you to take us to the next stage of the workshop. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Chira, for this detailed presentation and hopefully very clear presentation about the processing, about the criteria, selection criteria, and all the other waiting waiting of this project, whether it's economic or financial criteria. So I think in following with the format that we had before, we can now proceed to the next agenda item, which I think Krishna is going to present, which will be the how to submit project, and then we can come back to Q&A after to address both the selection criteria and waiting, and then also how to submit project. So Krishna, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Mike. I'm going to share my screen again, but with the PIDA-PAP 2 website. Can you all see the homepage? This is the PIDA-PAP 2 homepage. Shali, is it visible?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so this is the website. I guess most of you are already registered, so there is a registration process. And once you are registered, you get a login and password, and this gives you a login access. Otherwise, the public access, the public part of the website is these two documents, so the integrated corridor approach and the analytical report are public, plus the submission guideline is also public, and all the FAQs grouped in these categories are public. So this was part of the transparency policy to provide some basic public documents. Otherwise, you will see the registered users. So to date, we have a total of 210 users. There is a filter, so we can filter by country. We have 7 users from Algeria, 3 from Benin, etc. And then from region, northern region is 32. So if we click on northern region, these are the 32 from the northern region. Here you can select to view all of them. And then you can further sort by rec, by country within the region. So we have people from Algeria already registered. We have Egypt. We have Morocco and Tunisia. But unfortunately, to date, we haven't people from Mauritania, for example, etc., haven't registered yet. And then we have the these are from the RECs, and then the access level. So maybe I should explain the 4 access levels. Public means what I showed you, the public access is just the home page, so you don't have access to all the projects. The first access level is sectoral focal points. So we have 112 total, including 10 in the northern region, which we selected up here. And this means these people, these 10 people can view projects, they can participate in discussions, they can post comments, but they cannot submit. For submission, we need national focal point. We have 14 in the northern region, and these people can submit and modify their projects. Whatever they have submitted, they can also modify. And then the highest level is the REC focal point, where we have 4 actually. And these 4 represent the REC, and these people have the right to, first of all, validate the projects from the member states. And what we've also provided for the RECs, we've given the flexibility for the RECs themselves to manage people. So REC focal points can upgrade people to their level, to REC. They can upgrade people to national focal points so that they can empower member states for submission. Or if need be, they can downgrade if people have finished their work and they don't want them to modify projects anymore. So this is the access levels. So apart from the 2 countries I just mentioned, the Mauritania and I think Sahrawi also, they are not registered. Everybody else is registered. Maybe Libya. I know we heard from a colleague from Libya, if you could please register. So we will post maybe Shali, if you could post the link of the website in the chat box, and also maybe upload the file, the guidelines and all that, so that our colleagues can download these and register. So Libya, if you could please register, because this is the only way to submit projects. And then here we have, maybe I'll go quickly through these. These are the document sections. So the download section, sorry. If you click here on documents, you will see all the key documents of PIDA, the corridor approach, strategic note, etc. And for those who may have language difficulties in English or French, the website is available either in English or French. Right now we're doing English, but you can also click French here. But these are the Arabic versions of these 2 key documents. So you can download from here the Arabic versions. We've translated them to Arabic if that can facilitate your comprehension. These are reference documents. We would invite you to consult these if you have basic questions. Most of the answers are there. One is a 50-page document, the analytical note. The concept strategic note is a little shorter, around 20 pages. This is the guideline for submission, which provides very concise or relevant information on how to submit a project, and this is a general brochure. Then in this part, you will see the archive of all that has been presented since the beginning, starting from the Abuja Libreville workshops, the full training material in English and French where applicable, the Addis workshop, then the thematic training sessions, the water presentations, the digitalization, etc. So any new presentation is systematically posted here, and you can come and download English or French versions. Then here you have the events webinar schedule. So I know some members sometimes have difficulties. So this is where you can pick, you can anytime you can, suppose you've lost the invite or you can't find the Zoom link, it's always posted here. The latest Zoom link and the password is always available on the website. You can just go on the website and click here. You can join any webinar. And you will see the proposed planning is also here up till the end of June. So a total of 25 webinars will be organized. So 11 are shown here. So we're more than halfway through the schedule of webinars. And in this part here, the past webinar, these are upcoming, this is past. You can listen to the recordings. This also, this session is being recorded also. And tonight it will be posted. So if you want to re-listen, or those who missed this session, they can always go and listen to the full audio here. The queries, if you want to send us a private question, this is the FAQ, but there is also a query section where you can contact us. That's it. This is where you can contact, send us a private question. Now, the core of the proposal is this, actually, the proposed projects, the guideline we've seen, and this is the submission form. So the submission form is online. So clicking here, we come to the, it's in four parts, four steps. First step is basic information. So you just need to select, for example, for energy, you would select energy and the relevant subsectors appear. If the sector, the project you have is so innovative, it doesn't appear in any subsector, you can always customize. Click other and type the other here. Type the new sector, new subsector that doesn't fit up here. Then the list of the member states, the beneficiary countries, the RECs, this is a multiple choice. You can click many RECs, as many RECs as relevant. And then the institution submitting the project. Then you click next or save draft. You can, the project can be submitted in any, you don't need to do a one stretch. You can do it in any number of sessions you want at your leisure. But the second stage, actually, the program, the system will not let you go to the next step if you haven't done the first step. So to show you the next step, I will just go to one of the projects which have already been submitted. So you go to proposed projects. So these are the list of the 55 projects to date, already submitted on the website today. And the filter here enables you again to filter. So we have 18 from it in the energy, 15 from ICT, 5 in water, 17 in transport. This is the regional distribution. This is the REC distribution. And you will note that AMU, for example, since the training is only happening now, have zero projects up to date to now. The one of you two projects from Egypt are classified under COMESA. So they are here. You will see COMESA here under these two projects. And so basically projects, there's a color coding. So the color coding is simple. If a project is incomplete, which is incomplete means mandatory fields are not available, not complete, it will show as draft. You will have a draft here, and it will have this light brown color background. As soon as all the mandatory fields are completed, it will show as a normal color, I mean, without the background. But as soon as the REC validates the project, so REC focal point have the right to validate, there's a in their case, when they log in, they will see a button called validate. As soon as they click validate, then the project turns green, which means that the rec technically has finished the data entry and they signal it by saying that I validate, go ahead, now you can start screening, etc. So in this case, if we click on Northern region, you will see there are only two projects. Basically, these are the two projects I just mentioned from Egypt. One is the Nafisat, the air transport soft asset project. The other one is VicMed. And you will see VicMed is now complete. So no, it's not draft, but the other one is still in draft format. So why, you will see immediately if you click on this. If you click on the link here, it takes you to the, it takes some time. Yeah, so it, again, you will see the three sections. So this is the basic section. The title, the sector is transport, subsector is air transport. It's in Egypt, the member state is Egypt, the region is Northern Africa. And then this is the REC is the COMESA and CENSAT, and project institution is Ministry of Civil Aviation. Now, and then if you click on strategic alignment, you will see this is the uploaded a map of the project. You will see some information, but in this case, you will see also there are some missing informations. Maybe some of the fields are missing. This is why it's showing as a graph. Now, the one of the this, so this project is part of the COMESA master plan. And in this case, even though here they have maybe one suggestion here for our Egyptian colleagues, member states, actually, yeah, this is the missing field is the, okay, so the beneficiary increase are here. So these are the full list. So basically what this project is saying that by doing a kind of soft infrastructure, aviation capacity building in Africa, all the African countries, all these countries listed here will benefit from this. So in this sense, this becomes the regional project, and the contacts are here, Engineer Ashraf Shadi and Mrs. Eman Khalil, I think, who is also connected, but I think she has a mic problem. So these are the contacts, and you will notice at the bottom of each project here, you have a comments field. So how this thing works is that suppose somebody, anybody who has a login access can raise a question, can ask a question here to the project owners or can make a comment, but it is a moderated comment. So before being posted public here, it comes to us, we moderate it, we check the validity or the message itself. And if we're happy with it, eventually we talk to the person who raised this, who sent this to us, we agree. And then once it's agreed, we validate it, we activate it, it becomes visible to everybody. Then you can respond to it. It's exactly like Facebook, the Facebook type of thread management and documentation of tracking of conversations. So this is in a nutshell, this is the process for submission. The guidelines are here, this is the form. So I think this is the simple, it's as simple as this. You will notice here, you can upload image. So in this case, they actually uploaded the image itself. You can, this is the Google Earth image, which was uploaded. But there's another field which has not been used here where you can upload files, up to 10 megabytes of data or files. A few files. If you have many files, you can just concatenate them in a, append them in a single file and upload the whole thing. And this is the process for submission of projects. I think I will stop here unless maybe we can take questions in the question and answer session. Over to you, Mike.
Stop. Okay, well, yeah. Thank you very much, Krishna, for this presentation on the how to submit project through the PIDA website. So I think this complements the earlier presentation made by Mchira. And hence, we can now open the floor for colleagues to react to both presentations. So the floor is open. You can just pick the phone and speak. I think we can do it that way. All right, so I open the floor now to colleagues from the region and the countries as well. Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay, maybe the Shali, did you? We also ask participants to type their question in the chat box in the meantime, so that we can maybe filter and prepare the question and answers. But Shali, do you see? Because the other possibility, you can also raise hands. So then we can, if many people want to intervene, it's also you can raise hands. But right now, you can just unmute your mic and go ahead and ask your question. Do we have any questions, Shali, otherwise? Somebody has raised hands, yes?
Two statements, Krishna, there are two. There's one question from Hussein Talu. He's asking the aid selection criteria, is there any technical support or partners to help the countries or the institutions to implement as required? And Imani Khalili explains that this project is still a draft. I think this is...
Yeah. We just saw this. I explained this also, yeah.
There was a hands raised.
Yeah. So, okay. So I think maybe we can... Do we still have a hands raised? Or actually, this is the person who asked the question. Yeah, okay. Understand. So maybe let's go to the question, actually, which is typed. Could you repeat the question, Charlie, please?
The question is if there's technical support or partners who can help countries or institutions to implement the aid selection criteria.
To submit the project.
Yes, support okay. For that.
Who asked the question, please?
Hussein Talu.
So Mr. Hussein, he had a mic problem actually. We tried to talk to him before. Mr. Hussein, can you hear us? Is he still connected?
Let me check real quick. Yes, he's connected.
We'll try
to unmute him. Yeah, he said yes, he can hear. He can hear us.
So I think task force members, I mean, maybe I will let you reply and then we can hear from Mr. Hussein also, if he's happy. Mike, you want to
I think yes, Muchira. Yeah, I think Muchira can respond to that question, please. Muchira can go ahead.
Okay, let me try and respond to that. So I think the role of member countries and RECs is to submit projects through the submission form that Krishna just showed on the website. And as you noticed, it's a form that has got guidance in terms of what to enter in there, drop down options, selecting particular selections. So once all the projects are submitted and validated in terms of completeness, the selection process moves to the PIDA task force, which comprises the African Union, the African Development Bank, the UN Economic Commission for Africa, NEPAD, et cetera. So it's a PIDA task force of technical institutions, Pan-African institutions, that will evaluate all the submissions and then apply the criteria that we run through. At this moment, the criteria shared is only to demonstrate to you how the system will work for you to understand. But member states will not be required themselves to apply that criteria, but just to ensure that the submissions they make actually address all the elements that are required to enable the task force to assess the submission and rank it accordingly. So, but in terms of support for submission, then yes, there is support through the website Krishna was just showing now. You are able to interact by sending questions through the online platform and then going through the frequently asked questions, which actually provide a lot of guidance in terms of how to submit projects, what information is required, etc. So there is assistance for submission. But once the projects are submitted, the selection is undertaken independent of the member countries by the task force that has been put together. I hope that responds to the question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Krishna.
Yes, Abdul. Yeah, go on.
Okay, can I also add to what Chira has said? We also have four sector experts.
Yes, I was going to say.
That can also help member countries to virtually document and develop the projects that they're submitting in terms of information. So I think I leave the rest to you, Krishna, to name out and tell them the process that they need to go through to access the support from those experts.
Yes, thank you, Abdul. I think there are two ways. One is just posting your project. Once you post the project, once you actually document it, you put it live online, then we see it actually. It becomes visible to all of us. And then if, as Chirua suggested, if you use that chat, that comment function, if you ask a question, okay, it can, so there are two options there. If you want it to be public, where people can contribute to the debate, peer reviewed, etc., then you post it in that box at the bottom of the project. But if you want a private question, if you want to raise something which you don't want to be public privately, then you use the contact us function. You type your question, or you just send us a mail, actually. That comes to the PDAPAP2 mailbox. And then we will route it to the appropriate person, to the sector expert, task force member, etc. And we will give you a reply. Within 1 or maximum 2 days, you should get, if it's a simple reply, you will get a swift reply to your query. And then if we need to then channel people, experts, as Gilbert has presented, they have four experts, Mr. Engeda for the energy sector, Jonas for water, Gilbert MIT for transport, and we have Dr. Dafala for the ICT sector. These experts can then zoom into your project, and the main tool actually to facilitate this is the website itself, because they all can go there and download the information and review, and then eventually, if you have posted it public, they can reply publicly eventually, so that it also becomes a kind of learning opportunity for the member states and the RECs. I think that replies answers the question. I could see that somebody wanted to raise hands, but it's no longer raised now.
Krishna, so, Imani Khalili has a problem with the submitting her project. I think they can speak up and explain it well.
What?
And then Imani Khalili, after there's Omar Salim and Tahin Silit.
Okay, so maybe we listen to them. I mean,
Imani?
Imani, you want to intervene?
Your mic is muted.
Okay, I'll try to unmute her, Imani Khalil. Can you please?
If not.
Yeah.
We can move to Omar.
Omar
is already.
Yeah, do you hear me? Okay.
Sure.
Yes, Omar.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank you for the nice presentation and the slideshow for ranking and selection and criteria and so on. And I think you're making things a bit complicated for me to cope up with. But anyway, I'm really wondering why Libya is not registered. None of us is registered, because I only heard about this process a few days ago from Mr. Talua. My understanding at that time was that already some projects have been submitted, but what I understood now that the floor is open for submission. There's nothing yet submitted or rated or open for, let's say, evaluation from your side. So is there any deadline for the submission of projects, and are there any limits, and what are the conditions? For example, are we act as individual countries or through, for example, our group, I think, belongs to this North African region where UMA is, I think, the focal point or the coordinator and so on. Some of these questions are still very vague. I may discuss it later with Mr. Tallo, but if you want to answer me, I think I'll very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, maybe I'll have a first quick administrative view of this. Actually, in our database, so basically the process started last year. African Union wrote to all the countries through various channels, one of them being the official PR ambassador group, actually, the diplomatic channel in Addis. And they were, these requests to nominate focal points were then forwarded to the respective countries. We did get two names. We do have two names in our database. We have Sami Asadi for the transport sector and Rashid El Faisi for the water sector. I think Rashid is connected, actually, so we saw him. But then this, we have their email. So these people are systematically invited in all our events, all our communication. This is, they are part of the database, the mailing database. But then since this process is online now, what is required from these official focal points is to register. So you've seen the website. Maybe Shadi, did we post the link to and the guidelines in the chat for them to download? Can we do this? Or I'll
do it. Sure.
Yeah, please. So please post the link and the guidelines so members can download and register immediately. Actually, you can sort this out within 5 minutes. So once you're registered, then you will have access to all this data, all these presentations, etc. In terms of deadline, the deadline has been extended exceptionally because of the COVID pandemic and all that. The initial deadline was 30th of April. Has been extended to the 30th of June. So there's still time to submit projects, as have you seen. It's a very simple, it's a two sheets, A4 sheets of paper, plus any documents you may have, you can upload. The other point was who submits. Normally, you should consult your rec. So in your case, you should consult with Amu, which is Younes. Younes, I think, is still here.
I think Younes is online.
Come in and guide. Actually, maybe you can now take over and guide your colleagues from Libya how to, you know, which projects they want to submit, because it has to be validated by one of the recs, in this case AMU. So you will have your team will have to validate this, so you can start this dialogue with them so that there are no missing information in whatever in the projects they want to submit. So over to you, Younes.
Yes, thank you, Krishna. Hi, colleagues. Now I'm happy today to see people from Libya. We have maybe three people from Libya. It's a good thing. It's a progress. The team I'm available. I can put my email there for who didn't have. So we can give you support to register and to submit the projects. I'm available all the time, and I can put also my WhatsApp number here to facilitate the discussion if there's something urgent. For the deadlines, it's the 30th June, so maybe after 20 days from now, from today. So Mr. Omar, Mr. Rashid, Mr. Tandua, also Mr. Sami, I think Sami from Libya, for transport Libya, is not connected, but I still have a discussion with our colleagues, with director of transport is from Libya, Mr. Nordin Omar Mukhtar. He has the number from Sami. We will try to connect to call him and to give him the support to register. Also, I don't know if you have any problems for the registers. We can maybe do it and send
thank you. Password and login, you can change it after. So we are here for any support that you need to register and to submit your project.
Yes.
So yeah. I try it's fine. I will now to put my email and my WhatsApp number for who doesn't have, and I'm still available.
Yes. Thank you, Eunice. I would just add one thing.
Can I say one thing, please? Thank you, Eunice, for the clarification. And it's a pity that we cannot get Mr. Hussein Talou online at the moment. But from what I understood in the past, that already some projects have been submitted for both Tunisia and Algeria. I mean, two projects per country. Is that the end of it, or we still have to submit again? I'm not really quite clear about this.
I think maybe you're referring to PIDA PAP 1?
Yes.
Maybe. Go on, Eunice, go on.
Yes, it's the same idea. I think it's PIDA PAP 1. Now, the PIDA PAP 1 is still ended in the 2020. And now the PIDA PAP 2 will start from the 10 next years. Maybe a new project. All projects that you can put in, but now we must have 50 projects for all the Africa and 10 per region. So we must have 10 projects for four sectors: for PIDA, transport, ICT, water, and energy from our north region. So it's from PIDA.
Sorry, Eunice, I think it's PIDA 2, it's not PIDA 1, and I think it's quite recent that it's been submitted. But anyway, Mr. Talou could clarify that. I'm sure he knows what's going on. But
no, maybe I can intervene here, actually. The only way to submit, as we said earlier, is through the website. As I showed you, today, the only two projects are submitted are the two I showed you, so the VicMed for the northern region. There are no other projects submitted to date under PIDA PAP 2. So this is what we just saw. Anybody can log in and see. So I'm not too sure what are these projects you're referring to that have been submitted, because this is the only formal official channel to submit projects. But it's open, as Eunice said. We still have 25 days left, actually 24 days left. Which is enough actually to submit, especially if the projects are documented already, if they're already in master plans. And I would also say that at this stage, okay. Let me stop here.
I think Mr. Talou is online. But I think we have to further clarify to people that the projects that are going to be prioritized are 10 projects. In terms of submission, there is no limit as long as it passes the criteria.
Yes.
So no country should be limited in terms of the projects that are that they are submitting within the region. We need a long list, and we need to prioritize 10 projects from that long list.
Exactly.
So you can submit as much projects that will fulfill the criteria to form up the long list. What we'll prioritize are 10 projects to form up the 50 from each region.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, for clarifying this. And the only competition, I would say, as you've seen, the proportional criteria introduces an element of competition across the regional pool. So within the northern regions, to be in that shortlist, projects within that northern pool would be competing to be in the top 10 projects. But as Abdou had said, if you're 11th, that doesn't mean the project is eliminated. It means it's in the reserve list. So the moment projects graduate to execution, to financial close, etc., in the shortlist, then the 11th and 12th project, etc., will move into the shortlist. And then the focus will be on them
for implementation and resource mobilization. So I think I hope that answers the question, Mr. Omar.
Yes, Krishna. As you said, there is no project submitted.
Not exactly. But what? I would like to invite Mr. Tallo to clarify some of this, because he, I think, he indicated that projects have been submitted already. I don't know. I'm confused. Maybe I'm new to the system and I'm not quite sure.
I confirm to you that the only projects you saw are the one we just viewed together. So no projects except for these two projects from Egypt. There are no projects from Northern Region to date. So don't worry. I mean, there's still time. You can submit, as Mr. Abdou said, any number of projects, as long as they are eligible, as long as they meet the eligibility criteria, which is either being part of a master plan or being cross-border, demonstrating that several countries are either participating or benefiting from the project. That is the definition of regional project, that it contributes to regional integration, whether it's a port, a hub, an airline hub, whether it's a large power plant that will export power. And in the French webinar, we also presented this new emerging opportunity, which I also emailed to all of you. I hope you all received that mail concerning at least those who are in our database, because I realize some of you, like Mr. Omar, are not in our database. So please leave your email address. We will add you in the database. Where I emailed you a presentation on hydrogen. So if we have time at the end, we will just briefly go through this, because I see there are 15 messages left. So we need to answer the questions in priority. And if we have some minutes at the end, I will talk about the hydrogen opportunity.
I think if you check the chat, there is some clarification taking place between Sarah and Talu. And I think Eunice was supposed to be organizing a webinar for the Northwest Sahara Aquifer States.
Yes.
So that to clarify the confusion that emanated during the Tuesday session. I don't know what it was, but either they come on board and tell us what it is, and then maybe Mr. Omar will then clarify and get his situation sorted out.
Okay. Thank you. I see there's a hand raised from Dr. C. Tiny. Maybe we listen to you quickly and then we move to the questions in the box. Dr. Tiny.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Krishna. Thank you very much for the clarifications and everything. Just a question that I have raised in many sessions, in a session before, and I'd like to know what has been the feedback so far regarding how we can estimate the jobs and the gender. We have asked for an access to the toolkit from COMESA. So now that our colleagues from COMESA are there, I'd like to make sure that they have the possibility to have this access in order to be able to use this tool to have an estimate for the job creation. And regarding also the gender, because actually I don't know, these are two parts in the form that I'm not very much satisfied about, and I'd like to get deeper in order to give something that is tangible and pretty near to the real thing. So how can you help us on this? Did our colleagues, Mr. Malama or Mr. Bernard, have this access, and did they use it? Otherwise, can you give me this access in order to use it? I don't know. And regarding the gender also, whom can I ask in order to help me in estimating a good estimate? I don't want to lose the marks of these two parts.
We understand.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so concerning the jobs, there is a job creation toolkit. We have Ephraim here who is from AUDA. Ephraim, can you hear us?
Yes, hello? I can hear.
Yes, Ephraim. The question is, can member states have access for a login access? Can you provide login access for them to use the toolkit so that they can do simulations on the job potential? Or is it something which is too technical for them to get into? Because normally, as explained by Chirwa earlier, you do not have to do this estimation. This is done by the task force. There's no need for you to go at this stage. That is done on the basis of benchmarks, of cost, of job creation benchmarks and parameters. We had a special session, actually. We had a thematic session on this where our colleague Tish explained to us and Christine how this toolkit works. But the question, the specific question is, Ephraim, can they have access to do some simulations themselves?
Well, Dr. Krishna, not necessarily that we do it ourselves. But the thing is that now I have in the form to fill with a number, and I don't, at the stage where I am in this project, we are still in the conceptual phase. So I don't have a number to give. Will this undermine the marks in this regard, or will the committee, was the selection committee, use this tool to give a good a real number? This is my question. You understand, at this phase where I am in, I cannot estimate a number, so I need to do something in order to give a good number, a number that is meaningful. Okay, so either we do it or do we leave it for the selection part? This is a question. If they will do it anyway while they are selecting, making the short listing and the long list afterwards, so it's okay. We're just estimating a number now, but this number is not binding. The same goes for the gender thing.
Because okay, I think, maybe there's a confusion there, right? Because when you look at the submission form, there's nowhere, we do not ask for jobs. It's capacity, actually. It's the market potential. So at no point, jobs is not a question. It's not a requirement. It's a calculation done afterwards. We don't see where. I mean, we can go through the process. You never have to give jobs, actually. It's a result of a process, an internal process, which is done later by AUDA experts who will supply this to the task force for the marking. So you don't have to do it. We never ask this question, jobs.
Okay. So because in the beneficiaries and things like that, I think that there is somewhere where the gender is, and the somewhere in the form where this jobs and possibilities to find jobs is there. As far as I remember, maybe now it's.
Yeah. I think there's a confusion between the.
In the gender matter, I know it is there.
No, okay, gender, it is there, I agree. Gender, what is asked is intentions of actions. You need to list whether you want to do, you plan to do actually one action for gender, two actions, three actions, five or more actions. That is all. Okay. But there are the intentions of procurement. You can say you want to do capacity building. And again, to answer your question, once your project is on board, we have ANWIN members. You were there when we did the ANWIN gender webinars.
Yes.
We have these ANWIN members are here to help. They're also registered users on the website. They see everything. Sometimes they connect to these webinars. But the process would be either to send a private mail through Contact Us, or if it's public enough, you can just post it there, raise the debate actually around the question, and then you will also get other valuable inputs, maybe from your own colleagues or other peers or other countries who are prepared to help. So I think it's simple. We do not ask in both in jobs and gender. You don't need to do any very sophisticated simulation or whatever. For jobs, actually, there's nothing to do. It's calculated automatically.
For gender, you need to just state the number of actions you intend to implement. Intentions of procurement actions, procurement related actions. It's simple.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Dr. Krishna.
Okay, no problem. Sarah Tuzi, maybe we listen to you and then we move to the chat box.
Thank you very much, Krishna, and opening me the floor. Actually, I wanted to react to the intervention of Mr. Omar, and I'm really happy that our Libyan colleagues are with us, because this, there is this lasting confusion about the project proposals to be submitted to, for the Northern Western Sahara Aquifer System, since PIDA week last year in November. We were informed, countries were informed also that there is project proposals that was facilitated by UMA with the support of the African Development Bank and was ready to be submitted to PIDA. And then there were strong voices from the countries, Algeria was absent, but Tunisia, standing against this proposal and requesting that there is that there will be another a formulation of another project. And during Tuesday, I'm reminding this just because the concerned countries were divided, unfortunately, because of the language constraints, into different webinars. On Tuesday, the Tunisian colleague was present during the call, and again she raised this issue because there is still this confusion, and it was made very clear by Younes and our colleague Mr. Hassan from UMA that whatever the countries will be willing to submit is what will be submitted, and UMA will just just to finish, that there was an agreement on Tuesday, and it's good that it is resubmitted here when our Libyan colleagues are present, is that Younes, with all this confusion, he suggested that he will organize a dedicated webinar for the Northern Western Sahara Aquifer countries, so to clarify these issues and in particular to find a way that they be able to submit on time a proposal, because for the moment, unfortunately, due to this confusion, no project seems to be ready to be submitted officially. And during also this Tuesday webinar, I just reminded that we at GWP Med, we expressed it already from the November meeting that we are at the disposal of the countries and UMA if they see useful and if they request us to facilitate, because there was a workshop that was planned to take place in March, but unfortunately due to COVID was not possible to be done. So we reiterate our availability if countries and UMA decides that we facilitate the discussions between the countries. And Younes, he confirmed that this will be, and also the Tunisian side, that this will be more than welcome. And Younes I requested if he agrees that, or the countries, they send us just an email requesting us, and we can more than happy organize the webinar for the Northern Western Sahara Aquifer System. So this is again put to Younes and to Libya and the consultation mechanism. If they wish, we are happy to organize this. Just to clarify this point and to come to a concrete conclusion on that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, hello?
Mike, yeah.
Hello, on, Krishna.
Yeah,
Krishna, yeah, sorry. Please, I would like to be excused to run into another meeting on the same topic that I'm sure you and Yakuba is aware of that, with Mr. Beda. So, Mitra is here for the bank, and then he can take over from here. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much, colleagues, and good to see you. And
okay, thank you, bye.
Yes, thank you, Krishna. Can I?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for the meeting. I'm still on discussion with the colleagues from UMA on the dates and the hours for the meetings and who to invite in the meeting. So So give us one or two days to send an email. So like that, we can organize ourselves and see the agenda of each one and propose the dates for the meeting.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Younes. Omar has raised hands.
Yes, yeah. Omar? Thank you again. I think I will come with a better understanding of the situation later on. But now I would like to apologize if I have to leave this session. And I hope we can get together again. Thank you very much.
Mr. Omar, before you leave, please, you can put your email in the chat box, please.
Okay, I will do that, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so I think we're running a little out of time. Charlie, I see 17 messages, maybe not all are questions. Which one of these are questions?
No, there's no more. I think everything has been addressed, Krishna. This was just the...
okay, so clarifications and comments and all that. Okay, good. If any confusion about the project. Okay, okay. I think we've...
Yeah,
now. Okay, so colleagues... Hello. I'll just mute him.
I think Omar's.
Okay. Yeah. I muted him. Yeah. So what?
Dr. Dafala.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm there. But I had a problem with the internet, not stable.
Ah, okay, okay. Welcome, doctor. Yeah. So what I wanted to tell you, since we don't have any other questions in the chat box, maybe we can listen to some verbal questions if you have any left, any more questions. But if you look at the
hello.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I sorry, because of the internet I couldn't comment when Mr. Kirwa talked about the innovations in the criteria. The last item he mentioned the solar energy types and so on. But I think he should also include the digitalization. Remember, there is a session on webinar on the digitalization when the intelligent transport systems and smart grid and so on. This also, when the country's plan a project and put digitalization with the project, I think they should also be given marks there so that they encourage countries to do the digitalization for the.
Okay. We understand, Dr. Dapana. I think that the internet is still creating problem. We can hear you on and off. But yes, this is noted.
I said about the digitalization can be included there.
Yeah. Actually, it
as
will
part
be,
of the innovation.
Yes, it's just an example. The one used was just an example. That was why Kirwa explain that, but it's right across the board in terms of all projects that have been submitted.
Yes, and definitely, if your project has an element of innovation through digitalization, then it will be taken on board in that H criteria, the SMART criteria. Definitely.
Yes.
Okay. What I wanted to tell you is that after this session, so this session, the English speaking session, completes the kind of formal training actually. Tuesday we had the French colleagues, today is the English speaking. As I said, as I showed you, there is a northern region is the only region with only two projects. Most of the regions have at least 10 to 18 projects in the case of ECOWAS now. And only 24 days are left. But so I would first urge you to register those who are not registered. For example, Mr. Rashid, Sami, Omar, Hussein, our Libyan colleagues. Maybe we will try to get some people registered from Mauritania and from the missing countries. And second is to start putting actually your projects on the website, even if it's just a draft, even if it's incomplete, at least it's visible. We know what is coming. We can comment, we can contribute. Experts can see, they can. So I think the problem is nobody, very few people are using
you should be using the website, because there is a window of opportunity between now and end of June for us to help you to add value. And just posting your project there is the first step for us to help you. We have planned on the 23rd of June and a dedicated UMA regional session. It will be a common joint session across all UMA, all Northern region, French, English, bilingual. And this is going to be the dedicated session where we are going to zoom into, look into the detailed projects which are already. So I think it's very important that before the 23rd of June, any projects that you want to submit should at least should be there. Even if it's a draft, if it's incomplete, please register, upload, put your data, upload your information as soon as possible, and definitely before the 23rd, because then we can actually have meaningful discussions. We can look at the data, we can look at the projects. Like yesterday, we had a good session with SADC, because there were 17 projects already loaded, and we could actually zoom into the projects, and there were very focused discussions from experts, etc., to assist countries. So we invite you to catch up, actually. The backlog actually of lack of projects, and to quickly upload all your projects on the website. Maybe colleagues, anybody wants to add something? I think Younes had to leave.
I think everything is covered.
Yeah. Krishna. Okay. Yeah, okay.
And I think we'll look forward to the meeting on 23rd.
23rd, yeah.
I think I have to leave as well.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so again, colleagues, thank you very much for your participation today. And we look forward to now seeing you registering on the website and to have your projects. So that we can have a meaningful discussions, comments, the experts, sectoral experts can add value to the projects. So thank you again, and we invite you next week to the for the dedicated thematic on financing of projects again by the African Development Bank. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishna, and thank you all.
Yeah, Mike, sorry, I didn't see you were still there, sorry. Maybe, Mike, some last word, conclusion from the bank?
No, well, Mike had to leave, some chair here. No, just
sorry,
thank everybody for the good participation, and we look forward to further interaction. And thanks to you, Krishna, and the team over that side for organizing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to you, Chirwa.
Sorry, Krishna.
Yes.
To finish, you indicated a UMA webinar on the 23rd of June. You mentioned this one.
Yes.
Is it the one that is indicated regional session PDAPA2 task force and the webinar on the events?
Yes.
The webpage?
And yeah, that is on the webpage, the 23rd. But this is the generic. So I would invite you, actually, in UNES, to make sure that your dedicated session on water, which may not concern everybody, actually. So this is different. Eh? The session
you want to
organize is a very focused session on water.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's clear, but it's not indicated UMA. So this is for all regions?
No, that dedicated session is not on the website. And I don't think it will be on the website.
Okay.
It's a private session between a few trilateral session between three countries and an institution, which will not necessarily be documented. So it's a private internal discussion between you. That's why it doesn't show on the website. And if you want, if something comes out, we can post it. But it at this stage is just a coordination meeting to ensure that, but please try to do it as soon as possible so that we get the results.
No, sorry, Krishna, maybe I wasn't clear. You just in your last intervention, you mentioned that there will be another session for UMA region in both English and French to discuss the submitted projects.
Yes.
So I'm wondering what you mentioned the 23rd of June.
Yes.
I'm on the events website and there is no UMA dedicated session. That's why I'm wondering which one. is in the list.
Maybe it's not uploaded yet, so my colleague Ephraim will do the needful, will upload the that latest database of projected regional events. We'll correct this so that you will see the full.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about this, yeah.
No, thank you. That just it was to clarify. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Dr. Krishna,
hi. Yes, Ulushula, hi.
Just to follow up on what you said.
Yes.
I would like to say that if there's a nation meeting on water that you invite, I would like to suggest that you invite Jonas to join them, and Jonas the consultant, and also Chris.
That's a very,
from
very good suggestion.
Leopard,
And
the members of the task force that work Montana, myself, Christine, Francis from African Bank, and Frank from UAC. Please, if there's any coordination meeting on what it does be involved,
yes,
we will appreciate.
That's a very good suggestion. I will liaise with Younes, who has left, unfortunately, so that we invite all the sectoral water experts and the task force water experts. Good suggestion, Urufura, thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Charlie.
Nice day. Thank you, Charlie.
Have a nice day, Madam Urushola.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you, have a nice day. Enjoy your time.
Bye to everybody, yeah.
Bye.
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 Bye.